It's a chos and an honor to be here today to start the new Parsha, Parsha Shemos, a new Sefer, a new beginning. And again, one of the highlights of my week is to talk and discuss and to learn different topics, different ideas of the Parsha. And again, it just gets more jam-packed as time goes on. But we're going to do as we always do. We're going to ask a couple of questions. And then we're going to come out with some major yesodos, some major foundations for life. When you start a new Sefer, Sefer Shemos, you can look through the great commentaries and you can see what they discuss in the introduction. Whenever you start any Sefer, any book, you look at an introduction and you see, what is this Sefer about? Comes along the Heiliger Ramban. And the Ramban writes in the beginning, again, the Ramban who lived in 1194 to 1270, the great Ramban who lived in Spain, the physician who knew, wrote on Shas and he wrote on the Torah. He gives the name of Sefer Shemos a name. We just concluded Bereshis, and the Ramban writes that Bereshis is a Sefer Yetzira, is the creation. Says the Ramban that what is the name of Shemos? The name of Shemos is Sefer Geula. What does that mean? Why is the, question one, why is the Sefer of Shemos Sefer Geula? Furthermore, the Nitziv, the great Nitziv who we've spoken about a lot, who wrote a lot of different perushim on a lot of different things, the great Naftali Svi Yehuda Berlin, the head of Volozhin Yeshiva, who lived in 1816 to 1893, one of the Gedolim. So he has a lot of Perushim. And he has a Perush on Chumash. And he quotes a very, very, very fascinating Bahag. The Bahag, again, we have a lot of different names for different Svarim. And he says that the Sefer Shemos, the name of Shemos, is Sefer Sheni. And the obvious question is, every other Sefer has its own name. Bereshis, Sefer Yetzira, Sefer HaYashar, how to act in the right way. By Vayikra, Torah's Kohanim. By Bamidbar, Sefer Bekudim, the calculations, all of Klal Yisrael. And by Devarim, Mishnah Torah, it's the review of Moshe Rabbeinu. The last 6 weeks of his life is giving a review. So ask the Nitziv, why is Sefer Shemos called Sefer Sheni, the second Sefer? Why does it not have its own name? Maybe that's interrelated with the Sefer Geula of the Ramban. That's question one, 1A and 1B. Question two. We know the Medrash tells us, the famous Medrash, which we all know. Again, it's not one Medrash, it's Medrashim found throughout all Shemos. But we know that Klal Yisrael was Zoche for greatness because the Medrash says they didn't change three things. What were they? They didn't change their names, they didn't change their language, and they didn't change their dress. However, we're introduced to our great leader, our great Navi, Anav Bikol Adab, Moshe Rabbeinu. And when we're introduced to Moshe, we know the Medrash tells us that Moshe had 10 names. But how do we refer to Moshe? As Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah tells us in Parak Beis, Pasuk Yud, right before Shlishi, it says, Vayigdal hayeled, vativeyu lebas paro. He was brought to bas paro, vayilo leben vatikrashima Moshe. His name is called Moshe. She called him Moshe. Vatomar ki bin hamayim mishi suhu. Why? Because for I drew him from the water. And we refer to Moshe as Moshe. But I don't get it. We just said that the reason why Klal Yisrael was Zoche to get out of Mitzrayim was that they didn't change their names. So why did Moshe Rabbeinu keep the name that an Egyptian woman, Basia, Bas Paro, named him? Right? The Medrash says that as we learn as little children, that he was put in the little cradle, and he was in the river, and then he was going down, and she reached out, her arm extended, It extended 60 amos to get the baby. It was a nace that happened. And she went to go get him. And she said, oh, wow, look at this. Look at this boy. I'm going to call him Moshe. But it was an Egyptian name. So if it's an Egyptian name, but that doesn't make sense. What's the whole name of Moshe? And we referred to him as Moshe. Why? Why? He has so many other names of Victor, so many a million names where he put Hashem's name into it. Why the name Moshe? You know, in the movie The Ten Commandments, they say, and his name will be Moses. Why? Because he was drawn from the water. What? What Moses and... But again, I mean, we know, because we know the Torah, right? That ki hamayim mishisuhu. The root word is mishisuhu. It was drawn. So that's why it's called Moshe. It's not because of the water. What does Moses have to do with drawn? You know, like, what does that one have to do with the other? No, but we know mishisuhu. Again, they're not talking Hebrew in that movie. But again, why do we focus and we give the name of our greatest leader ever, the greatest Navi ever, Moshe Rabbeinu? His name is Moshe. Question two. Question three. There are three episodes where we see the leadership of Moshe. And again, in the Torah, there's not so many psukim, a lot of midrashim about Moshe. But there are three episodes where we see Moshe Rabbeinu working. And the three episodes are where he leaves the house of Paro. He leaves and he runs away. He was in royalty, he was in Malchus, and he ran away. And then the Torah goes on and tells us that there was a Mitzri fighting, and he killed the Mitzri, and he ran away to Midian. And then he's fighting with the shepherds in Midian. What's going on? How do we see the leadership of Moshe from these stories? How do we see the leadership of our great Moshe? And lastly, again, there's so much to talk about, so much stuff here. Again, always have to pick and choose, God willing. Continue for years and years, God willing. But we gotta pick and choose what we do. The first time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu, right, we know that first impressions are a very, very important thing. So it tells us in Perek Gimel, tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu, or taught his little children, he saw the sneh. He saw the sneh. And the Pasuk tells him in Pasuk Beis, Gimel Beis, Vasneh Einu Uchal. And the sneh in the bush was not being consumed. So Moshe Rabbeinu turned to the side. And then Hashem, Bayar Hashem, Hashem comes and he says, Moshe, Moshe, and we spoke about in Parshas Vayigash, we spoke about the double name with Yaakov and Moshe, and he says Moshe, Moshe right here. And then it says, Vayomer al tikrov halom. And he said, don't come any closer. Sal nalecha me'al raglecha. Take off your shoes from your feet. Asher ata omid alav admas kodeshi. And then he goes into the whole thing. How he's the Ribon Hashem, and he's going to take him out of Mitzrayim. What's this whole idea of the shoes? The shoes, taking off the shoes. We know that even in society, when you go into someone into a higher position, and you move up in the workforce, what do they say? They say that you're filling his shoes. Right? And We know that you can't judge someone until you walk a mile in his shoes. We see that this idea of the liturgy of the shoes. So we see that the liturgy of the shoes is very important. We know that, again, we make all the brachas in the morning, we put them all together. But we know that when you put on your clothing, you say the bracha of Malbish Arum, and that makes sense. That you're clothing the naked. When you open your eyes, you say, Pokeach Ivrim, you're opening, thank you Hashem for giving me eyesight. But then, when we put on our shoes, we say, She'asa li kol tzorki, that you've done everything for me. What is this focus of shoes? We know shoes, it's interesting, that with clothes, you can have clothes that's like a little baggy, your pants are a little big, and it's okay. But shoes, if you don't have the right fit in the shoes, then you're going to have a lot of pain. There's a very big focus on shoes. What's this whole idea of shoes? And we know that shoes make or break an outfit also, right? I know women, you know, they love their shoes. You gotta go get the shoes on, this outfit and this, and this. It's complicated. But somebody told me them again. This guy, Russell Westbrook, he's a big basketball player. He dresses very strange. But he says very clearly that the shoes make or break the outfit. Which makes sense. I play basketball sometimes with my guys. Again, you know, sometimes I get a little too into it. I'm like one of those guys that, like, thinks he's good, but I know I'm not. But, like, I want to be. And I play basketball. And I have my sneakers still when I played basketball in high school. I still have those sneakers. I know I feel like I'm a 20-year-old man. I'm not 20 years old. Maybe, you know, I play basketball like a 20. No, I don't. you guys know over here, definitely, I don't play like a 20-year-old. I do these one-on-ones. Always get my wife involved with my shtiyot. Right? I just lost a big one-on-one. I'm going to make a comeback, God willing. But I remember one time I was changing, and I left my normal-looking shoes, my black shoes, in a classroom. And I remember I was getting dressed, and I realized I just had my sneakers. And my sneakers are still my sneakers from when I was in high school, these white. I wouldn't say they're ugly. Okay, they're not the nicest shoes. But they're nice, nice. Reebok. I think they're Reeboks. I don't even know what they're. Maybe Nike. Nike. I don't know if they make Reeboks anymore. Right? But and I was wearing like a suit or a white shirt and pants. And then I was wearing these white shoes. And people were looking at me like I'm from outer space. The shoes are very important. That's what I'm trying to say. And this guy, Russell Westbrook, again, I don't know him. I'm not going to pretend like I know him, you know? Like those guys that, like, pretend they know things they don't. I don't know him so well, but I saw a picture. I looked at him. I Googled him online. And he's a dude. And he says the shoes are a vehicle. What's the whole idea of shoes? Again, so we have a lot of questions here. There's a lot of things going on in the beginning of Shemos. We're introduced to Moshe Rabbeinu, our greatest leader, which we're going to speak a lot about, obviously, in the upcoming Parshas. But again, these couple of questions. The first question, let's just review, because clarity's sake, when you bump into someone, you say, I have a quick Dvar Torah on your tongue. Al Megangin, the Gemara tells us in Brachos, Al Megangin Beficho. Don't hesitate. You know, you gotta have it on your tongue. You gotta be able to rattle it off. You know, you start hesitating, oh, I have a Dvar Torah, and you start hesitating, everyone's gonna be like, what's going on with this guy? Right? No, Al Megangin, you gotta have it clear, have the questions clear. Everyone wants to hear Torah with Jinnim here. We want to grow. We want to get close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. So again, question one, 1A, 1B. The Rabban calls it Sefer Geula. What's that all about? And the Bahag, the Nitziv, has a whole Sefer on the Parsha. Why is it called Sefer Sheni? Question one. Question two is, we spoke about the names. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu? And we're saying that the names, that the reason why they're okay is because of their names. Why are we dafka giving the name of Kiamayim Nishisuhu? Question two. And question three, we're speaking about the shoes. What's this whole essence of the shoes? And lastly, how do we see the leadership of Moshe of all the different events in this week's Parsha? Of leaving the palace, running to Midian, killing the Mitzri. How does that show this idea? What Moshe Rabbeinu, how does that show his leadership? So let's go slow. The Ramban writes, Nachmanides writes, in his beautiful Akdama, again, they have all the Ramban translated into English. It's unbelievable, the Ramban. And the Ramban writes, we'll just read a couple of lines of what he says. Hishlam HaKosav Sefer Bereishis. We finished off Sefer Bereishis. Shehu Sefer HaYetzira. It's the creation of the world. Bechodesh HaOilam, the world. Umikri Abos Kulam Sheim Kein Yetzira Lazarim. And the Abos, or, you know, Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. What we learned from them. Then he says, V'achrei Shehishlam HaYetzira. After we finish the creation, Hitchil Sefer Acher Binyan HaMaisa. We go after the actions. And he says, Vinis Yachid Sefer Ve'ela Shemos. And then we start with all the names, Binyan HaGolus, in reference to the Golus. V'hine, go down a couple more lines, V'hine HaGolus Eina Nishlam Ad Yom Shibo El Mokomam Ve'El Malas Avosam Yashavu. The Golus is not complete. We're not done with the Golus until we return. We return to the land. Ukishyatzim Mitzrayim. And when we left Mitzrayim, Afal Pi Shiyatzim Beis Avadim, even though we left Mitzrayim, Adayim Yechshuvu Goylam, we still were in Golis. Ki Ayu Ba'aretz Lo Lachem Nevochem Amidbar. Because we weren't in our land, we were in the desert. Ukishibo El Har Sinai. But when we get to Har Sinai, Ba'asu HaMishkan, and then we bring the Mishkan, Vishava Kodesh Baruch Hu, and then we return to the Rabbi Nishalom, Vehishre Shechinoso, and then the Shechinah comes back, Shebo El Milus Avoso, and we get to the level of the forefathers, She saw it at Luka Le Elohim. That's the whole Yisod, the whole foundation. Vehem Heim Amar Kavo. This is the chariot being with God. Va'az Nechshavu Geulam. And then we have Geula. Comes along the Ramban. And the Ramban says, beautiful. The Ramban says that we start off Shemos to teach us. Yeah, we started Bereishis. We have the Avos. We have all these great things. But it doesn't stop there. We take the Kedusha of the Avos and then we put it in. And now we're going to be in Golus. Now we're going to be in Mitzrayim. The Torah is going to tell us it's supposed to be 400 years and now it's 210 years. It will switch. And it's going to be a long journey, says the Ramban. But the Tachlis, the end purpose, the end game, is to get Shekhinah back. Is to get the Torah, is to get back to Eretz Yisrael, says the Ramban. That's why it's called Sefer Geula. Says in its Siv that the reason why Shemos is called Sefer Sheni is because it's an extension of Bereishis. We take the Mice Avos, all the stories of the forefathers, and we continue it, and we continue Sefer Geula because there's a physical freedom which we're going to experience with Yitzias Mitzrayim, but it's not just enough, this physical freedom. It's then the next level is the spiritual freedom. Is that we feel free and we could connect to Hashem. That's why the Netziv says the Baha'i calls it Sefer Sheni. Because Sefer Sheni represents that it's the continuation of Bereishis. What was the second question? Ki hamayim mishisuhu. There's so many other names. Why are we focusing so much on Moshe? And we refer to Moshe. People are called Moshe, right? From Moshe Rabbeinu. Oh, so many great Rishonim are called Moshe. Very interesting. You find in the Gemara, I don't have a real good answer to this. You don't find, maybe a couple, you don't find Rav Moshe in the Gemara. Very interesting. No Tanam and Amorav. You don't find Rav Moshe. There are certain names that are found. You know, you have Yaakov, and you have a lot of different names. Shmuel even. You have a lot of different names, but you don't find Moshe in the Gemara. However, we have a lot of Rishonim that are Moshe. Rav Moshe ben Maimon, Rav Moshe ben Nachman, the Rambam, the Ramban. So many people Moshe. Why ki amayim mishisu? What's it all about? So two ideas. Two ideas here. And again, we can have a whole separate shiur just in this idea. But you know why Moshe Rabbeinu is called Moshe Rabbeinu? Because Bas Paro saved him. And since Bas Paro saved him, he wanted to always remember Ki Amayim Mishisuhu, the Hakaras HaTov, the giving thanks, that wow, look what someone did for me. Look. And as Yidim, our whole essence, and we've spoken a lot about this, but we have to, you know, Chazer, all these inyanim, all these different topics, we have to live with it. You could talk about it, right? Talk is cheap, but you got to live by it. The Hakaras HaTov that Moshe Rabbeinu felt to Bas Paro, Chazal is trying to teach us that we always have to show Hakaras HaTov. Even the next week's parsha, we know that Moshe Rabbeinu doesn't hit the Nile. He has Aaron hitting the Nile. Why? The Nile, he was just there. What was so unique? He was just in the Nile. He doesn't hit the Nile because he was just there. That's just, no, because you show a Hakaras HaTov. Ezra Dessler, I don't get it. You're gonna show Akaris Atov to the Nile, to the river. You're gonna show Akaris Atov right to Svardea that came from the river. What are you showing Akaris Atov? Says Rav Dessler and Chelek Gemel, beautiful. No, Akaris Atov is to show thanks to someone. It's true. We have to appreciate and we have to show a lot of Akaris Atov. But sometimes our Akaris HaTov is also for ourselves, getting our perspectives right. Wow, this person really helped me. Wow, let me view it as he helped me. Let me get out of myself and stop being so big-headed and be like, wow, this person helped me. Wow, this Nile helped me. That is one Yesod. Ki Amayim Mishisu. That's why the Torah is focusing so much about Moshe Rabbeinu. It's Ki Amayim Mishisu, the Akaris HaTov. And as we know, the Chinuch writes, obviously, in the mitzvah of Kibbutz Avim, we all have to have so much appreciation for our parents who brought us into this world and done so much for us. Right? And that's the whole idea, and it's a chinuch, famous chinuch, that why is Kibbutz Avim found in the Parsha? If you break up the Aseret HaDibros, Ben Adam L'Makom, Ben Adam L'Chavero, the first five, why is Kibbutz Avim in the first five, that's Ben Adam, L'Makom, and Hashem. And the Chinuch says, because when you channel the Akaris HaTov, when you give it to man, a physical being, then you'll be able to channel it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's an idea of Akaris HaTov. But there's even more of an idea of Akaris HaTov. You know, when someone, listen, we're all normal, we're all human beings. And when someone goes and does a favor, and then you tell him, thank you so much, right? Sometimes you give a guy a present, like, yeah, whatever. You don't want to give that person a present. Again, you know, obviously, but sometimes it's difficult. We know. Maybe I know, not you, but we know. Right? You give someone something, and they don't even say thank you. Like, what's the heck? You don't want to give it to him anymore. Sometimes you don't. So, you know what Akaris HaTov is? Is that you go and you show appreciation, and then the person wants to do it more for you. Right, when you're so thankful and you say, wow, thank you. Thank you for helping me. You didn't need to, and you helped me. You went out of my way. You drove me to this area. You didn't need to. Or you did this for me, or, you know, whatever the situation is. But you say thank you in a meaningful way, the person's going to want to do it for you again. And that's why in the Shemoneh Esrei, the first brachas are just about Akaris HaTov. And we need to focus more. We need to focus on Hashem, all the good. He's given us so much good. Again, it's hard. We have to realize, you know, everything that He's given us. He's given us tremendous life, life itself. Life itself is, you know, what would it be without life? And we have to show, and the more we appreciate and say, Hashem, thank you, thank you, thank you, the more Hashem's going to give us. Because Hashem wants that relationship with us. But we have to say, thank you, in a meaningful way. We have to know what we're saying. And we have to show appreciation. You know, just a heartbeat, just that we're able to live. We take it for granted, and it's hard. But that's what we say in the morning. We say, Moda'ani, Hashem, I'm Moda to you. Look what you've given me. And we all say Moda'ani with more come on and waking up. You know, most people, the way that when they wake up, they're like, oh, yeah, another day. Most people are good, tired. But no, Moda'ani, jump out of bed. Moda'ani lefanecha Hashem. Wow, I'm Moda to you. We don't even say Hashem's name in the beginning. We say Moda'ani. We say, Hashem, I admit to you, look, I'm up again. Baruch Hashem, have another day of fulfillment. That's the idea of Akaris HaTov. And that's exactly what happened in the beginning of the Parsha. It says that Paru didn't know. Vayakom Melech Chadosh. And there was a new king. Asher lo yados Yosef. What do you mean you didn't know Yosef? Yosef saved your whole country. He was the man. He went down in the history books. What do you mean? Asher lo yados Yosef? Matal Mer. What are you talking about? He didn't know you. Of course he knew Yosef. But no, Paru didn't focus on the good. He just took things for granted, and that's the opposite of a yid. That's the opposite of a person. We need to be show Akaris HaTov, because later on the Parsha, Moshe comes to Paro and says, Moshe says, hey, Paro. So again, Paro says, oh, I don't know Hashem. What do you mean you don't know Hashem? Of course you know Hashem. Yosef, all he spoke about was Hashem, 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 Hashem. You worked with Yosef, or even if you didn't work with him, you were a new king, you knew about Hashem. You knew that Yosef saved your whole country. No, because when you deny the Akaris HaTov, but again, there's two elements. There's Akaris HaTov for yourself. You need to look at the things that people are doing for you. And also the idea of appreciating more, and that people want to do more for you. But there's another idea, another beautiful idea. that I recently heard. Moshe ki min amayim mishisu. They quote B'Shem Nachronim. Beautiful idea. We know that water, whenever you take water and you put it into something, it conforms to that thing. If you have a long pitcher, you put water in or any liquid, it conforms to that. If you have a bowl, it goes to that. The idea of conformity, the idea of putting the liquid in, putting the water in, and it takes that entity. What's Moshe's whole name? Ki hamayim mishisuhu. I don't want to conform. I'm going to run. I'm going to get out. Min hamayim mishisuhu. From the water, I'm going to be drawn. I'm going to leave the water. I'm not going to conform. I'm going to be a person of my own identity. I realize that I'm here for a purpose. And although Hashem had to come very strong at Moshe, Moshe didn't want to take the responsibility. But Hashem said, you're going to take the responsibility. And Moshe's whole essence was the whole essence of not conforming. That's what the stories represent. All these stories. He didn't give in. He didn't conform to society. And this is a major yesod. A major yesod is, yes, we have freedom. And yes, we even have spiritual freedom nowadays. But we can't conform to society. We need to realize our values. We need to realize how special we are. And we need to realize that we can't give in to society. Although there's great things. There's great things about society. And Baruch Hashem, we have to be makir tov to all the physical freedom and all the spiritual freedoms we have. But we need to realize that we're greater. We can't conform to society. It's very interesting. We know that it says in the Parsha, it says, Vayehi ben Soharon. The Torah goes on to Vayehi ben Soharon. That's how we take out the we take out the Aron HaKodesh. We take out the Sifrei Torah. And the Torah breaks it off with two nuds. So the Gemara at Shabbos says something amazing. The Gemara at Shabbos says the whole Torah is created for these for this Parsha. What? What does that mean? And there's two nuds, backwards nuds. What do the backwards nuds have to do with anything? So I heard a beautiful pshat. You know what nun is? Nun is nuna. Vayigdu larov, Uncle says, you know what a dog is? You know what a fish is? Nuna. In Aramaic, it's nuna. Nuna means a fish. You know why they're backwards nuns? This idea also. That we're not conforming. It's like a fish going upstream, fighting against the current. And we have to realize that also, that we can't conform to society. Yes, there's great things in society, but if we don't create our boundaries, we don't become like a Moshe, and we don't create boundaries and create that we are greater, then we're gonna fall. And we see, and that's the generation, there's a spiritual Holocaust going on. Because once you let your boundaries down and you say, oh, let me just, you know, do that and do that and that, so then your identity gets lost a little. That's what Moshe is saying. Ki min hamayim mishisu. We're like the fish going against the current. And it's hard. It's not easy. We have to be mechazik each other. All Klal Yisrael has to be mechazik each other. But we have to realize that we're going against the current. They don't want meaning so much. They do want meaning, but they don't have the Rabbona Shalom in their lives. We have the Rabbona Shalom in our lives. And lastly, what's the deal with the feet? The shoes. Shoes are so important. What is going on? Why was Moshe Rabbeinu told to take off his shoes? Why is there such an importance of shoes? So I saw a beautiful comment from the Be'er Yosef, Rav Yosef Salant. He was one of the Gedolim in Yerushalayim. Rav Yosef Salant writes beautifully. He says, you know, the Kuzari speaks about different forms of life. We have the domain, the rock that doesn't have life. Then we have the tzomeach, the plants, the growth. Then we have the chai. Then we have the animals and the creatures. Then we have Adam. We have man. It says in Kuzari we have another level. A yid, Yehudi. Says Rav Yosef Salant, a beautiful, beautiful idea. Says Rav Yosef Salant, when we wear shoes and we put shoes on our feet, shoes are normally made from leather. Again, they have other shoes also, but shoes inherently are made from leather. And when we step down on our shoes, and we need shoes, and we need the support of our feet, so important, right? If you don't have good shoes and you don't have support, and your feet will go bad and it's very uncomfortable. So the shoes represent that we're wearing leather, because we know we're the greatest thing that the Rabbanu Shalom put into this world was man. And man, as the Torah tells us in Bereishis, viskiv shua, man has to dominate, man has to take control, and man has to accomplish. So we take our shoes and we show ourselves the leather shoes. We show ourselves that we're greater than an animal. We were greater than an animal. An animal is made from the hides, and he's made from the leather. But we step on it to show that, wow, look what Hashem has given us. We have this intellect, and we have such ability to do great things. However, we also are told to take off our shoes certain times. We know that on Yom Kippur, we take off our shoes. Berchas Kohanim. I'm a Kohen, I'm zaycheh to be a Kohen. I take off my shoes every morning. When Rachmana Litzlan, someone loses someone, they take off their leather shoes. What's this idea in the Beis HaMikdash? You take off your shoes. Why? Because when you take off your shoes, you realize, although Hashem has given us so much intellect, and we know Hashem has given us so much, and we need to always show that Karas HaTov we spoke about before, and Hashem, Modani, everything Hashem has given us. But we have to realize also, we take off our shoes to show that it's Hashem's the one in charge. Hashem! Yeah, He made us greater than the animals. But sometimes we need to take off our shoes, remove the shoes, because who's in charge? Hashem. And we need to realize that, and we need to recognize that. That's why we take off our shoes. Whenever there's a makom kadosh, whenever there's a holy place, the Beis HaMikdash, when you're dukening, when Moshe Rabbeinu or the Parsha told him to take off the shoes because there's a makom kadosh here, there's a holy place, because you have to realize that although I gave you the ability for greatness, I am great, Hashem says. I am the one that gave it to you. And we forget that sometimes. We focus so much on what we could do and what we could accomplish, and we can do a lot. But we need to focus on who gave that to us, Hashem. And that's why a person takes off his shoes in a base of El. Because in the lowly time, because Hashem is the only one that's in charge of life. Hashem gives life. Hashem can take away life. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim, there are a lot of things that man doesn't know. A person doesn't know when he's gonna after Me'ev Ha'esrim. But a person doesn't know when he's gonna go up to Shemayim. Because Hashem is the one in charge. We have Bechira, we make choices. But Hashem inherently is the one. And that's why we take off our shoes. Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the focus of the shoes. Shoes represent that we have this humility and realize that the Rabbeinu Shalom is in charge, not us. Yes, we could accomplish. Yes, we could conquer. But we take off our shoes showing that Hashem's in charge. As we start the Sefer Shemos, the Sefer Geula, let us realize this idea of Hakaras HaTov, that Hashem has given us everything. Everything. As we spoke about the story, just to finish, with Victor Miller one time, the great Victor Miller, one of the Gedolim, didn't live so long ago. All his books are coming out now. Unbelievable. Speak unbelievable tapes and MP3s. They tell a story. I might have told the story before that one time his grandson found his head in the sink and they said, Zaidi, what's going on? Is everything okay? And he said, you know what? I went outside and there was like pollution. There was like, it was dirty. And they said, oh, such dirty. And then I said, oh my gosh, I just spoke bad about this world. And I needed to appreciate every second of air. So I put my head in the water to appreciate the air. Because we take for granted. Again, we're not all Ravigar Millers, but we need to appreciate more. We need to realize to have the Hakaras HaTov, the greatness that Hashem has given us so much. And we have to keep on being makir, so He'll give us more and more and more. And also we have to fight. We can't conform to society. We have to realize society's great, but at the same time, we can't give in to everything like Moshe, ki amayim mishisu, like a dog. And lastly, we have to realize that we wear shoes because we're greater than animals. But sometimes we take our shoes off, like on Yom Kippur, Judgment Day, when it's just us and the Ribbono Shel Olam, and we say, Hashem, grant us life. Let us keep on growing. Let us keep on working. Let us get closer and closer to Hashem. Good Shabbos.